This is Jody Apple.
Welcome to Are You Listening? We are asking the question, how does Jesus save? The answer to that question is obvious. We are saved by the blood of Christ. Therefore, we are focusing on the importance of the blood of Christ in answer to the question, how does Jesus save? We want to make sure that we carefully consider every element possible in order to make sure that the question is answered accurately and thoroughly. Let's get started with today's program. The question we are asking and answering again is this one, how does Jesus save? And we are focusing on the importance of the blood of Christ. Because of how serious this subject is, that is, how Jesus saves, every Bible citation that we are presenting in the course of our broadcast will be read in its entirety, and you will find all of them in the context of the transcript that you can also download. Salvation, that is, the forgiveness of sins, is in Christ's body, which obtains for us the forgiveness of sins. Salvation is the act of baptism. We've covered these points so far. First, salvation coming by the blood of Christ. Second, that Christ's blood is in Christ's body. And third, that salvation, that is, the forgiveness of sins, must therefore be in Christ's body. Again, a reminder, we are asking the question, how does Jesus save? And in order to answer that, we are focusing on the importance of the blood of Christ specifically, and blood generally, even under the Old Testament dispensation. There is so much more to understand than just knowing that Jesus saves. It is important, of great importance, to answer the question specifically, how does Jesus save? In our first broadcast, we noticed this. Salvation comes by blood, specifically by the blood of Christ, because life is in the blood, because without blood there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. We saw that blood was used under the Old Testament law of Moses in order to obtain the forgiveness of sins. But most importantly, we notice this. Under the New Testament, it is the blood of Christ, not the blood of bulls and goats, that obtains forgiveness for us in this age. Next, we notice this. Christ's blood is in Christ's body. Jews and Gentiles were made one, forgiven of their sins, when they were brought together by the blood of Christ in one body. The next point we noted was this. Salvation, therefore, that is, the forgiveness of sins, is in Christ's body. Consider this. If the forgiveness of sins comes by the blood of Christ, point number one, and if the blood of Christ is spiritually inside the spiritual body of Christ, then the forgiveness of sins must be in that body, the spiritual body of Christ. We have already noted that the forgiveness of sins does come by Jesus' blood. That's our very first point. And we have already noted that the blood of Christ is inside that spiritual body known as the body of Christ. We can only conclude then that in some way the forgiveness of sins is in Christ's spiritual body. That was the focal point of our last lesson when we read through Ephesians chapter 1 in the opening verses, focusing on this one specifically, verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. That verse reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We continue now with the fourth point of the seven we are examining this week, and that is this. The body of Christ, under consideration in the New Testament, specifically passages in Ephesians that we will address, the body of Christ is Christ's church, or the church that belongs to Christ, the church of Christ. Consider this. The one spiritual body that Paul spoke about in Ephesians is the church, the body of Christ. We see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. The Bible plainly teaches that Christ is the head of the church. If you look at those passages in Ephesians 1, 22, and 23, as well as in the 4th and the 5th chapters, you will see that. We will cite also from Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2, and Hebrews chapter 3 in order to demonstrate that Christ's body is Christ's church. Consider that first citation, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. It reads as follows, "And He, God, put all things under His feet," that's Christ, "and gave Him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Notice, Christ was given to be head over all things to the church, comma, which is His body. The church and the body of Christ are the same. The next passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." We will note from this passage and additional ones in the book of Ephesians that Christ is the head of the church. Consider Ephesians chapter 5, for example, verses 22 and 23, where we read this, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He, Christ, is the Savior of the body." Again, that's Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Our next passage is from Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence." Again, that's Colossians 1, verse 18. The next passage, Colossians 2, 10. "And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." Colossians 2, 12. Same chapter, verse 19. "And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." Notice Colossians 2:19, Christ is the head of the body, and we are all knit together by Christ in His body. Hebrews chapter 3. "For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which should be spoken afterward, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." Notice again, the one spiritual body that Paul spoke of in Ephesians is the church, also described as the body of Christ. The Bible plainly teaches that Christ is the head of this church. That's why we cited these passages in Ephesians, Colossians, and Hebrews. And under the same heading that says that the body of Christ is Christ's church, or the church that belongs to Christ, the church of Christ, one more point to make. The Bible also teaches that Christ, who is the head of the church, is also the head of a body. Why? Because the body of Christ and the church of Christ are the same thing. Study again those verses in Ephesians 1, 22, Ephesians 4, 4, and Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, as well as the lengthy reading of Colossians 1, 18 and following, to see the connection between the body of Christ and the church which is called by His name. These passages teach that they are the same spiritual institution. Notice again what we've noted already. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. "And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Notice in Ephesians 4, verse 4, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling." Again, Ephesians 4, verse 4, the church is singular, there is but one body, just as there is but one Spirit, and in the greater context of Ephesians chapter 4, one Lord and one God. Notice also again, a passage we alluded to just a few moments ago, Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That's Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. The last passage we wish to consider in this regard, demonstrating that the body of Christ is the same as the church that Christ owns, is this, Colossians 1, 18 and following. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church. Notice again, our point is simply this, number 4, Christ's body is Christ's church.